Totes Recall. Welcome to Totes Recall, the podcast where we talk about a movie we can't remember very well, and then we pause the recording. We watch the movie while eating two pizzas and two salads. Thank you, patrons. Come back for the second half of our recording. Now we have watched the movie very recently, and we remember it pretty well. How does it hold up now? What do we get right and wrong? That's some of the things we explore in the second half. My name is Dan.
This is Molly.
I'm also Dan.
And I'm Beth.
And our movie, this very special episode.
What's
is,
special about it?
Oh, it's March, baby, and time marches on, and this movie's got a lot of words in the title.
You're not going to mention basketball at all?
It's madness out there.
There we go.
March madness. Go Badgers. They probably won't be very good, but that's why I went to grad school. University of Wisconsin, Madison.
Get back on track. Get back on track. Get back on track. What's the name?
Did we say the name of the movie?
Nope. Sorry. You interrupted me.
Don't tell the babysitter's dead.
Wow.
Don't tell March the babysitter's
basketball. The movie is Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. A movie that exists.
I have not seen it.
I have also not seen it.
But I do remember the trailer.
Yes, this is right in my brain. I loved this movie, and I am the right aged kid to have enjoyed it.
Perfect.
I have a theory that I saw it once.
Ooh, I like that.
Me too.
I remember going to sleep over at my cousin's house.
Nice.
Which is the cousin that used to live by Dan.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Don't talk to me.
Yep. So I had a sleepover.
But neither of you live there anymore, right?
We won't go into it.
All right.
I don't.
No. I went over there and we watched a movie that wasn't an animated movie. And so I was like, this is dumb.
Mm.
But I think this is what we watched. But
wow.
I don't really remember any context or anything that happened in it. So it might not be that movie at all.
Perfect.
Yes.
Well, I hate to do this to us.
Yeah, I
but,
do too.
We must stand strong for the unions and do Totes Pre-Call. And the only one that can time this segment is Molly.
Yep.
Yes!
At the three of us.
Oh, but her phone's plugged in, so I'll do it.
No! No! Give me your phone!
Yeah!
I will do it.
Yes!
Beth has to guess, too. She doesn't
producer
know anything.
Beth.
Can't argue with the producer.
Incredible.
Ugh.
And the producer
10 seconds. 30 seconds.
Don't tell Pod. The phone is plugged. Don't tell Maul the phone is plugged in.
Yep, it works.
The phone's battery was dead.
Okay.
Now it's plugged
in. There it is.
Is everyone ready?
So sure. Ready.
Okay, 60 seconds are on the
you
clock.
You can write down notes, Molly.
Go.
We open on suburban Los Angeles, California.
Someone shoots a plate with a gun, and that's what I remember.
This house is full of rowdy goddamn kids.
Oh, they say, dishes are done, dude.
There is a frazzled parent.
Christina Applegate.
Is the parent?
She's the head teen.
Okay.
And is she good teen? No, she's bad teen.
Aren't they all bad teens?
Well, there's probably got to be some good younger kids.
Oh,
there's
sure.
So many kids.
Mom's busy. Mom's got to go.
And the babysitter's dead.
Well, the babysitter has to come to the house first, right?
Old babysitter comes, has a heart attack, dead.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Or wacky Rube Goldberg accident.
They eat a lot of pizza.
Okay.
And in the end... Are we there?
No.
Mom?
Beth, do you want to contribute anything?
10 seconds.
Where's Dad in this?
Dead.
Dad's also dead.
By the very hands that killed the babysitter.
Wow. Mom's on a business trip. Did we
for
say that?
Murder.
Yeah, mom's, they're assassins.
Wow.
I feel like.
Assassins.
I feel like Dan and I got locked into a very, very specific mutual energy and we maybe got a bit off the rails.
I honestly, at a certain point, I was paying such close attention to the time because I take that job very seriously.
And we
other
thank
people.
You for it.
We respect you for that. Yeah.
But you were just listing off words and I don't know what you actually said.
LA suburbs, shoots plate, dishes are done, dude. Christina Applegate is a bad teen. There are a bunch of kids. Some of them might be good kids. Mom's busy. She's on a business trip. Old babysitter dies. possibly at the hands of the same person who killed the dad. There's a lot of pizza in it, and the mom and dad are secret assassins.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, they're assassins. The dad's I don't know dead. If it's a secret.
Okay.
The mom's an assassin.
Killed on duty, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
I can add a few details to this.
Yeah.
Okay.
One, I remember specifically that the mom is going to Australia.
What?
Oh, wow.
On a business trip?
I think so.
That's far away.
Or is it on a, like, I can't deal with it anymore, mom trip?
No, it's my memory is she's going on a, I think a leash.
Like a walkabout?
I don't know, but she's wearing a floppy hat.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, that checks out.
But she's hired a babysitter for the 2 weeks she'll be gone.
2 weeks.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, is it a nanny?
Wow. Like a temporary nanny.
Temp nanny.
Temp nan.
I guess in my head, a babysitter is very, very temporary.
I guess so. Well, this is not a recurring baby. Well, maybe it is. Maybe it is someone that they know. At any rate, she's supposed to be there for 2 weeks. Mm. She shows up. The kids are all very rowdy and out of control.
Of course.
And she passes away. I don't believe at the hand of an assassin, but
we'll see.
I'm open.
There's a lot of kids though, right? Is this one family?
It's one family with, I think, three kids, maybe four.
Oh, wow.
Are there like rowdy neighbor friends or something?
There's neighbor friends.
I remember there's a, the oldest boy is the most rowdy.
Mm.
And then I think there are two younger siblings. I think it's four total. And the siblings are kind of mischievous. And at some point, the real maturing process comes into play for the two oldest with the younger kids kind of.
Oh, and they got to be.
Ooh, Dan's bet.
I got to cool down.
Mm-hmm. Dan's bet. One of the young children either gets injured or nearly gets severely injured, and they have to cool it. The older ones have to cool it and get real to protect their siblings.
Yeah, that sounds right. I feel like there's got to be a charade at some point. Someone comes to the door, ding dong.
Oh, sure.
Is your mom home? No. Or yes.
And that's like a Mrs. Doubtfire, like, hello.
Yeah. Cream on the face.
Yeah. Great.
Buddy daddy. Sorry.
What?
One thing I love about this movie, at least my memory of this movie, is how it was just such an epic time of 80s movies with like the whole latchkey kid.
So this came out in the 80s?
I think it came out in the 80s, maybe the late 80s.
This feels like a 91 to me.
I'm saying 90 period.
I feel like there are flannels tied around waist. Nice. I feel like we've made it there, but just barely.
Okay, that's great. I'm going to stick with 88 because that's what I said originally.
I respect that.
I'll say 89.
Yeah.
The year of my birth.
Oh!
Don't tell Beth the baby's been born.
Okay.
Don't tell Beth.
Don't tell mom.
Mom should, but mom would know.
Mom would good
definitely
idea.
Know.
Don't tell dad.
Don't tell Beth's nemesis.
Yes.
Anne Hathaway.
Don't tell the assassins.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the things that I love about this movie is it's part of that like tradition of kids just being on their own and figuring stuff out, like Goonies or Stand By Me, or, you know, I think there are a
Honey
lot
I Shrunk the Kids.
Like that.
Home
Honey
Alone.
Shrunk the Kids. Yeah. Yeah, where you get the parents out of a way in a way that doesn't require death.
Except in this case,
I mean, the babysitter who you barely
doesn't
know.
Doesn't require the parents being dead.
Oh,
yeah,
I see.
Exactly.
Who cares about this working woman?
She's probably old
She's
anyway.
Probably young.
She is
garbage.
Old, but I bet it'll be funny to watch because I wonder if she's actually like 50 or 60.
Yeah.
And at the time you're like, ugh.
What do they do with the body?
Great question.
Well, oh, that's a great question.
Body's buried, dude.
Body. Yeah. That's the only thing I remember. I feel like I saw the trailer on TV a lot.
Nice.
And there's like an old teen shoots guns on the roof, shoots a plate, and says, the dishes are done, dude. Because we used to say the dishes are done, dude, my brother and I, to each other all the time. And I feel pretty confident we didn't see this movie.
Amazing.
But that'll be a big reveal if I'm like, oh, I have.
Yeah, that'd be great. I think I remember the like the poster / VHS cover art to this where it's like the teens are on a open front porch and there are the raised feet of a corpse in front of them, and they're all looking. I'm sure, I bet one of them is looking shocked. One of them's just looking like, hey, I'm a hey, because they're like the fun teen, you know? Mm-hmm. And there's then there's like a like little a, kid.
Yeah, there's
kinda,
like a spacey, dirty younger sibling who I feel like looks like the kid from Aliens.
Okay.
Hot bet, same kid. Mm. Real hot.
That's a real hot bet because I don't know that he did multiple roles.
She? Isn't there a girl
Drew Barrymore?
Aliens?
Newt.
Not E.T. Aliens.
Oh, Newt. Aliens.
Newt!
I said aliens, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I heard E.T., so...
Listen, if it's Drew Barrymore, also a fun surprise.
That would be very surprising.
I feel like we'll recognize a bunch of people in this movie that we forgot that we...
Like Skeet Ulrich?
Mm.
No, he's like way later, right?
Is he?
Oh.
Ugh, I'll look up Skeet.
I mean, make sure you look up Skeet Ulrich.
Put the Ulrich
full name.
I'll be like, yeah, they shot some plates. I don't get it.
Okay. Yeah, they shot something.
We'll keep moving on.
Ropes.
Oh, boy. No. We're not going to.
Okay, speaking of that, there's got to be some horny teens in
this,
right? There's
got to be at least one horny teen.
Christina Applegate probably has a boyfriend.
Mm.
And if not,
I think
call
she
me.
Wears a leather jacket at some point.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So she probably like invites him over because it's like the rule is he can't come over. Yeah. And then it's like the babysitter's dead.
Let's bang.
Now
let's
he's going to come over.
Yeah.
But Pre-Clueless? I feel like this might be Pre-Clueless.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, probably.
Isn't that Applegate?
No.
Who's that?
Alicia Silverstone.
Oh, shit. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
You're all over the place.
Applegate's Hand of the Pants TV show?
Yes.
Married with Children.
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you.
Hand in the Pants?
Yeah. What's his name? He's always had his
hand in his pants. Al Bundy always stick his hand in his pants.
Oh, okay.
Ed O'Neill.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, am I right? Is it good? Well, I guess we'll find out.
What is your question?
Is this Christina Applegate or is this Alicia Silverstone?
Oh, that's not even a question, though. Do you really want to make a bet?
That is a question. I already bet it was Applegate.
Well, and we already said, like, at the very beginning, top of the thing, it was Christina Applegate.
Did we?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I get in trouble for hearing E.T.
And she, who's belly ring, bungee cord, Aerosmith?
What?
I just don't know what it, these are just
words.
Are
you now back to Alicia Silverstone?
That's the question, am I?
Maybe.
Wait.
If you're trying to describe who appeared in the Aerosmith video, then yes, Alicia Silverstone.
Great. Thank
or
you.
It's another video and it's Liv Tyler.
No. That's Armageddon video, right?
I don't know. I feel like she was in an earlier one.
She might have been. But anyway. Okay.
Molly and I are on the same page. Thank you.
I guess so.
We are.
And do we think it'll pass Bechdel? I think it will.
I hope it will too.
I'm going to say yes.
I feel like mom or babysitter has to be named.
Yeah.
And Christina Applegate will be like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And then she'll be like, blah, 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 and then die.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm pretty sure the mom calls at some point, right?
Okay.
They got a call and everybody's like, be cool, it's mom.
Yeah.
They say, don't tell mom the babysitter's dead.
Are they going to name check the movie?
Oh, I hope they name check the movie.
I'm going to bet they do.
Nice.
Thank you, Molly. You're doing a great job on notes.
Dan's bet, there is a fun pooch hanging out with the little kid.
Oh, fun pooch.
Yeah. You mean dog?
Yeah.
Great.
What did you think I meant?
I don't know. Listen, you take nothing for granted on this podcast.
Fair.
I'm writing down fun pooch.
Nice. I bet it like eats something it's not supposed to because it's on the floor because they're pigs.
So is like the drama, I mean, I realize the babysitter is dead.
Mm-hmm.
But is the drama.
Don't tell mom, though.
Right.
That's the drama.
That they are just trying to survive and there's like, you know, teenage chaos happening. Or is it like there's something more sinister happening, and then they
wet bandits.
To, yeah.
Oh,
the wet bandits show
real
up.
Real estate squeeze.
Oh, that's a great guess.
Corrupt police.
Well, I feel like
there is some
hazard. There is some reason they want to hide the fact that their mom is missing and the babysitter is missing. It's at least twofold. I think there's a big party at the end. I think they're looking to throw a big party.
Okay.
Dance
and
bed.
I'm pretty sure the mom comes home.
Nosy neighbor. Part of the challenge.
That's going to be a character actor.
They got to keep that nosy neighbor from figuring out the babysitter is not
like
there.
Off-brand Daniel Stern.
Okay.
I'm not going to write that down.
Okay, I will.
Okay, great. big party. Mom comes home early.
Nice.
And I think mom gets some comeuppance.
Oh,
I think there's
mom
some,
gets comeuppance.
I think the mom gets like a, yeah, well, you weren't here.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Because mom is kind of like flaky.
I don't know that she's flaky.
She's a single mother trying to be an assassin.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she is a single mother. And she feels that she needs to go to Australia for some reason, right?
I'm saying yeah, walkabout. Is that the term?
I don't know.
It is a term, but I don't think that's her. I don't remember why she's going, but it seems important to her. It's like a convention or business thing, I think.
But maybe it's a business thing that is also a cover for finding a new dad.
Oh, she's going to like a singles down under?
Or like she already knows, she already met somebody. She already met some Thunder Down Under. And she's like trying to like sneakily keep that relationship going. And he's like, hey, why don't you come on down to my place? We'll get to know each other and then I'll come meet your kids. Yeah,
crikey, fly into Perth and we'll go on a bit out into the bush.
Yeah, I'll teach you all about exotic poisons you can put on a string that you then dangle over your target while he's sleeping in his four-poster bed.
I'm also an assassin, of course. Crikey.
Watch out for the kangaroos. They'll punch you right in the nose.
Ew, don't let that Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock.
Oh, how would they say that? Oh, my God.
I wish I had taken video of just Beth's reactions.
Herms.
It's just the worst accent I've ever heard.
How dare you?
It's just me, rubbing
Sherlock
her face.
Sherlock Holmes.
Nope. No, Sherlock's nope. Not Australian.
Okay. All right.
What if he was? That's a reboot we need.
Yeah, we should do that.
Like Sherlock Holmes, Crocodile Hunter?
Molly's bet is that Christina Applegate.
Here, what's all these things?
Christina Applegate like gets a job. Oh, and she actually is successful. This is my memory. I don't know if it's true.
Like a business job?
Like she pretends to be older?
Yes. Oh. Yes. She pretends to be older. She gets a job in fashion. She solves a problem using her know-how.
Wow.
It all culminates with not a big party, but like a big fashion show with like happening at their house.
What?
And her mom comes home and is like, young lady. And Christina Applegate is like, while you were gone, look what's happened. And she points out how everyone has grown and done better in her mom's absence. So what you going to say about that?
Yeah. Wow.
And I think that's what stuck in my mind because all of the movies that I really enjoyed, like Ferris Bueller's Day Off and others, had some moment where the teen tells off the parent.
Yeah.
And it was delightful.
And then a beautiful man steps in front and he's like, oh, good day. I'm your new father.
That's not you can a call babysitter. Me Rick. I'm a babysitter.
Hey, what? Hey, what's this fashion? You got some sort of fashion share happening.
What? Like, what is happening?
What is that accent?
I'm trying.
It's Australian.
It's clearly Australian.
Australia Day.
This movie's going to rule. I'm looking forward to that Australian dude.
Yeah. Speaking of the thing that rule, Molly, what are the rules for our rating scale?
Oh, nice.
Dishes are done, dude. Assassin peck.
Wow.
It's a really long thing for me to write down.
Unpack this. Dishes are done. So dishes are done, dude, is like the brand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's like the addition of an assassin pack. Assassin, like you have your normal
assassin pack. Is this like DLC for Assassin's Creed?
Oh, all right. Now I'm very.
Like weaponized flatware that you can throw at your enemies.
Almost like a shuriken, but a plate.
Like a big plate.
Just toss it. And it beheads your enemy.
Yeah. Ooh, and then it comes back like Xena's fucking sharp ring.
Check ram.
That's what it's called?
I think so.
Check ram?
That's how I say it in my head. Check ram. Okay. Ooh, you're in the bush. It's a bit like a boomerang.
It's me, Lucy Lawler.
Hey, you're the check ram. Hey, Kevin Sorbo. Hey, Chico. Stick your head in the didgeridoo.
You fuck yourself, Kevin Sorbo.
It's just getting it's more
like
and more.
Swedish Chef.
It's just so far away. It's not even.
You might say it's halfway around the world.
It's very good and it works.
Yeah. You guys are going to be eating crow when the Australian actor shows up at the end of this movie and sounds exactly like Dan and I.
That's right. All right. Well, I think we understand the rating scale.
Yeah, it's a DLC for the Assassin's Creed franchise.
Yeah. As dishes are due.
Where you throw
Breaking Bad, his name is Tim.
Beth's name is Tim?
No, Australia. The Australian dude. His name is Tim.
Oh, it's me, Tim. I took an international fleet.
What? Oh, even I got lost on that one.
He's got coming back. Bill's Beach.
We'll get him when he comes back in.
Is that from Point Break?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, my God. Okay, speaking of breaking points.
How many points will you break off of your point stack and give to this movie? Dan, you go first.
I do go first because I am the best and also I deserve it. I never seen this movie. I don't know anything about this movie other than it just seems like one of those like movies from the late 80s, early 90s where like there's just a thin veneer of morality that allows the most bonkers premises to occur. So I think it's going to be like darker than we expect in certain moments, but then also like stupider than we're prepared for in other moments. So I think it's going to be a real roller coaster ride, but I bet it'll be fun. Bananas bonkers. So I'll say 4.
Dishes are done. Dishes are done, dude. Assassin packs.
Check it out on Xbox Pass. Yeah, whatever.
From Ubisoft. Beth, your second, as we all know.
I gotta say, this first half like has just. I'm like, is my brain functioning still? I just words are being thrown
Listen,
at me.
You can cut out as much of this as you want.
Yeah, if you want the whole half just to be Australian accent,
respect.
That's okay.
Respect.
And Dan and I can come back in and record some
absolutely.
More.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I think this is going to be a fun movie. I was real grumpy about it when I was a kid because it was, I think, a little bit too grown up for me at that point in time. So, like, it was more for teens and I was a child.
Totally.
So now that I'm a teen.
A 35-year-old teen.
I'm going to really like it. So I'm going to say 4.
Great. I am third. I was very amused by the trailer as a kid, but I don't remember being like longing to see it either. I just remember saying the dishes are done, dude, over and over.
Amazing.
That's the main thing to my life and this movie. I guess I'm going to go 4. It seems like it could be fun and have chaotic 90s energy because it's like unpolished. Like the title speaks volumes, right?
Yeah, it does.
Like it's a whole sentence. And I appreciate that energy. So I think it's got potential. Molly, you're last, but not least.
Thank you. I know I am last and I am going now. I would say I am feeling a little vulnerable in this moment because I loved this movie when I was a kid. And I'm worried it won't hold up or y'all won't like it as much as I do. So I'm going to give it a protective 4.
Nice.
Dishes are done, dude. Assassin packs. And hope for the best. And with that, we're going to pause, go watch Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, and we'll be right back.
Hey, listeners. It's me, Dan, the best Dan there is of all time. Wow. Podcasting, cooking, mid-rolling.
Jesus.
Wow.
Friendship.
Give me something.
Comedy. Not dog owning.
Okay. Nice.
Coming at you with the mid-roll. This is a very special month because it's 2 months before we respect you.
Yay.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
Yes, it's March. May, as you may know, is Respect Listener Opinion Month, the month in which you, listener, get to pick the movie.
Wow.
Mm.
And here's how that process works. Starting now.
Whoa.
If you go to respect.totesregal.com, there will be a form.
Oh.
Ooh.
You can fill out that form and give us what we call Relom Noms, which are Respect Listener Opinion Month nominations.
Yeah, I think that was clear.
Yeah. We will gather all those Relom Noms.
Wow.
And then starting on April 2nd, not April 1st, so you know it's not a joke. Mm-hmm. At that same URL, because we have the power to change where things go, respect.totesregal.com, there will now be a poll, and you can vote on the Relom Noms.
Wow.
And the winner of that poll, like every democracy, wins.
Okay.
And now, how many times can I fill out that poll?
The poll or the nom form?
So I assume I can relam nom as many noms as I want.
Yes, you can nom from here until April 2nd.
Noms do.
Great.
Or maybe
but then,
slightly
when it comes time to vote, how many times do I vote?
Please vote one time for as many movies as you would like.
Yes. Oh.
You'll have the option to check as many movies and then submit the form one time.
Yes. We know.
We'll know.
When you submit it a bunch of times.
We'll know.
And we throw those out. And I'm grumpy about it.
And I don't respect you.
Yes. We're trying to respect you, so also respect us. I don't want to click on the button that says you have to log in. But I will. You keep multi-voting, you ballot box stuffers.
That's right.
Anyway, this is a fun time where we respect you.
Yeah, this is just for fun. This is all for fun. This thing where we need you to do something very exactly correct is for fun.
The poll will be open from April 2nd until April 8th.
Nice.
So a little bit of a short window, but not as short as if you just had to vote on one day.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
Yeah.
And like you wouldn't even get your, you can't even like take work off
right.
by and default.
And you can take work off to vote for the respective.
Absolutely.
Listen, if you're still in line on April 8th, you stay in line.
Yeah.
Yes.
Until you're able to vote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then at midnight or whenever we remember, the poll will close.
That's right.
And then we will find the winner and watch it, and it'll be our May episode, and we love it.
And we're so grateful.
That's it. Any questions? Give us a call.
612-8-0-8-9-PUD-A-2.
The last four letters don't matter, but you do.
Two T's and butt.
Back to the show.
Whoa!
And we're back. We just watched 1 hour and 45 minutes of the very best that 1991 has to offer.
Wow. The year, I guess, nailed it.
Wow.
Cool.
Very nice.
Although I believe I anchored my bet in this would be flannels tied around the waist era, and it is not.
Mm-hmm. So close.
Yeah.
So close.
Yeah, it's really, seeped. I mean, I guess it was mostly filmed in 1990.
Yeah.
And it certainly feels that way. The clothes are like...
It is pretty grunge.
Yeah.
Or at least,
popular culture is concerned.
It's still like shoulder pad hangover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But like floppy pants.
Yeah. I mean, if this movie had taken place like a few... You know, like a few hours north, maybe the burnout friends would have been wearing flannels.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, 1991, LA.
Nah.
How is the? Oh well, I'll wait. Go ahead, Dan. I see you're ready.
What are you ready for, buddy?
60-second summary is a segment we do, and it's where we summarize the movie we've just watched in 60 seconds exactly. The movie is "Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead." The traditional manner of this segment is that I volunteer.
I'll do it.
Wow.
Great. Does this win awards?
So many awards. Okay. Too many to count.
Great.
So I won't do it.
Great. Molly, are you ready?
Yes.
Go.
We open on an animated segment for the titles. Then we see a house in disarray, a mom who's cranky and out of touch with her kids and seems a little irresponsible, about to leave for 2 months on a trip to Australia to be at a sheep farm with her boyfriend. She leaves her children with a babysitter who appears to be kind but turns out to be mean. She blows a whistle. She puts on rules. She harshes all of their mellows. Yep. And then she dies from exposure to posters in a boy's bedroom. And and then Christina Applegate has to get a real job. At first, she gets a job at a place with a dreamy guy named Josh Charles, is the actor's name, but the character's name is Brian. Anyway, she has a dreamy crush. And she works at this corporation.
10 seconds.
And Forrest Gumps her way all the way to the top. And at the pinnacle is a fashion show where she gets busted by Brian, her boyfriend, and her mom, and her boss.
Time.
Wow.
And there's a dog.
No! No, we're not getting any awards for that shit. Are you kidding me?
65 seconds.
Get in the penalty box.
Still 100%.
Of course, absolutely. No question.
100%.
But we, and... Despite the ratio in the 60-second summary, the yes. majority of this movie is her figuring out how to be a career woman
yes.
and support her family. Mm-hmm. While parallel, Kenny, the burnout brother,
yeah.
gets on board eventually and is learning there to be a couple at home.
Yeah.
Not in that way, yeah. but also kind
but also,
of.
Like a domestic partnership of confused. Child rearing.
It's got some good beats, too.
It's an LOL.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kenny. Oh, sorry.
I would say the babysitter dies
so fast.
Mm-hmm. They get right to it.
I thought it was going to be like 20 minutes of just like, oh, it's so hard dealing with what's her name. And then they, I don't know.
Yeah, basically the first night, right?
Yeah.
Mom leaves, transformation from nice lady to tweeting Evil. Whistle. Yep. She stomps her cane at Elvis the dog, who is a very good
very
dog.
Good corgi.
I think a Welsh corgi is my bet.
The best.
She, yeah, so she basically... She makes the like kind of grungy tomboyish Melissa dress up like a what did she say? She said like sugar and spice. And she's yeah. wearing like a pink dress. Oh,
that's so bad.
Yeah. yeah. She makes him wear name tags. She has a chore chart. She mm-hmm.
But I think she dies so fast that Kenny, the burnout brother,
doesn't
never
even meet
meets her.
Her
right?
No, not when yeah. she's alive.
She just sees his room yeah. and has a heart attack.
We were kind of joking because she's just like going around the house and like checking yeah. everything out. She goes into Kenny's room and is assaulted by filth and boobs yeah. and a big weed poster
yep.
and an Iron Maiden poster with the cool skeleton guy who's like just vibing, man. And she like seems
so
genuinely,
many nude pictures.
Genuinely stressed about it.
Yes.
And then the next time we see her, she is dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So by all accounts, Kenny's decor yep. killed her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they move on from that.
So fast.
Fast to the point of at least Dan and I forgot about her by the end of the movie.
Oh, yes. I didn't forget at all because at the end of the movie, it's like, see, everything turned out for the best. I'm like, but the babysitter's still dead and they yeah. just left a corpse on the front steps of a mortuary.
Okay, but the mid-credits Marvel-style secret ending shows that those nice men at the moratorium yeah. did mm-hmm. bury her.
Meritarium.
Oh, it's kind of moratorium.
Oh my gosh, there were no Australian accents.
You're infuriating because there is literally discussion of a boyfriend with a sheep farm in Australia.
You never meet him.
Meet him. I was furious.
And the phone calls from the mom were extremely brief.
So brief.
Yeah, she seems very disconnected. I would say even by like late 80s, early 90s standards.
Yeah.
But before we go on too much, because we were doing a really good job of sticking so with the good. Story for just a second. So it's an important plot twist, though, not only that the babysitter dies, but she has all the money
yes.
yeah.
for the summer on her. And so when they... drop her off at the mortuary.
Let's take one step back. When they stuff her in her own trunk and then put a note on it that says, like,
nice old lady inside died of natural causes. This is pretty good.
And they leave it. They also don't have any money for the entire Zero. Summer.
Yeah.
And so that is the event that forces... one of them to get a job, they flip a pizza box.
Yes.
Christina Applegate's character loses Swell or Sue Ellen. And
which took me too long to figure out.
Yep. Yeah, I was kind of surprised that y'all were joking that you didn't understand.
Nope.
Well, I couldn't remember nope. what her name was, and then everyone started calling her Swell all of a sudden, and I was like, who's Swell? Yep. But then you said it out loud, and then I was like,
It all clicked. Yeah. She basically, when she flips that pizza box, she essentially like transforms it into an entirely new movie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. She like, Freaky Fridays herself
yeah.
I mean,
into her mom.
Sort of.
I mean, but a much better version of her mom, which I
yes.
think is
I agree.
Very important.
I agree.
I really thought that by the end of the movie, it was going to be like the mom comes home and it's like, oh, we get you now. Like, we see why you're so tired and why you needed 2 months to just, like, go
to out in a sheep farm.
Yeah. She's 37.
Yeah. Yeah,
she is she 37?
She's even much older.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing that she was 37.
She's
but
had five kids, and the dad seems like a real shitbag.
Apparently.
We never really learn about
they
him.
They don't even consider calling him.
17, so she would have had kids starting at 21.
Mm.
So she wouldn't have had much of a time to
go
be
to
free.
And
bang it out.
Probably yeah. never went to the beach.
Get down to Sheep Town.
What?
I'll work on it.
Okay. Nope.
Yeah.
Bye. Bang it.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to do, but
Crikey, it's bang time.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Will they do it? There you yep. go.
Oh, okay. What? Got it.
Will they do it? Yeah, there you go. Bang. Will they bang? Crikey. Ah, you wanna come share some shape with me in my acreage? Oh, that's so not Australian at all.
It's
hello, it's
just
me.
Not.
Hugh Jackman. I'm here to. I'm the lead in Oklahoma. I is.
What's going on?
All right, it's me, Nicole Kim, here, actor opposite you, Hugh Jackman.
Oh, fiddly-dee, it's me, Jeffrey Rush. Coming up.
No!
Have you ever heard an Australian accent before?
You see, I am all the Hemsworths.
Oh, my gosh.
Where don't tell we? Mom the babysitter's dead. Never gets the full name of the movie spoken, but,
no,
but the babysitter's
mom.
Dead.
Mm-hmm. And don't tell mom. I think must come up somewhere.
Yeah.
But separately.
They say they say something about like, I don't want mom to come back. I don't know if they ever say like, don't tell her.
All yeah. right, fine.
But so much of the movie is Applegate navigating corporate life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Way more
shocking
than anticipated.
Amount. I have not seen this movie and is not at all what I expected.
Not at all.
There's like... Not it's not really about kids left alone shenanigans.
Yeah, there's like a couple, but they almost feel like obligatory, right? There's like a quick scene of like, oh, the kid who likes TV spends a bunch of money on an entertainment center.
Yeah, but it's all to further like now they're in a panic about their economic situation and they need to work overtime.
Yeah.
Or Christina does.
Well, yeah, because they, I mean, for those kids to undergo such a huge transformation, it has to be a big push on them, right?
Yeah.
Like,
no, I think all those things make sense.
Makes sense. Just, yeah. The thing I enjoyed the most was remembering why I had such a crush on the actor who plays Brian. Because he was in, Captain, My Captain.
Dead Poets Society.
Dead Poets Society. Oh, and then he got cast in this movie.
Oh.
And I'm pretty sure that's when I first formed a crush. And then he was in Sports Night.
Wasn't he in like Law Town USA for a few seasons?
Oh,
some
maybe.
One of those lawyer
one
shows.
One of those lawyer shows. Right? Yeah, then I start to get fuzzy. But I've always had a crush on this actor. And I think it was forged at a very like crushable time.
Nice.
So it was really nice to remember that. But there was another point. Oh, but the other thing that I noticed this time is just how delightful her boss is in corporate America.
She
Rose.
Wow. Can we just get into Gaw? Like just the whole.
What is Gaw again? It's Garment West Apparel or General West Apparel.
General Apparel West.
General Apparel West. Yes. Gaw.
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 With the Seinfeld logo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, it was very strange when they first got to the office and like we just see the receptionist with Gaw behind her.
Yeah, we've got a collection of characters. We've got her unhinged
it's
boss.
It's like a backdoor pilot for a sitcom.
Yeah.
The whole corporate setting.
Oh, yeah. Like a Just Shoot Me.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got her boss who is like very supportive but an agent of chaos.
Yes.
And very horny.
Yes.
Her boss? No.
I mean, she's...
Yes.
I think she's horny for commitment.
She's horny for Gus to like...
She's horny for Gus? And what do you think that... She says any woman over 25 needs a cucumber in her house.
She also says... She
means for your eyes.
I think she means two things.
She means
I
two don't things. She also asked if you ever experienced
like any woman over 25 ought to purchase a product.
Not in 1991.
I mean, I just...
I agree.
Listen, let's set... Can we just set the whole cucumber situation aside for a minute?
Okay.
I started out, I just want to talk about her boss for just
okay,
a quick
everybody
second.
Shut up while Molly talks about exactly what we were talking about, but in a different way. Yeah.
Thank you. Her boss is just lovely. Like she breaks a lot of the prototype. She's not like overly, she's not like Sigourney Weaver intense. She just really is rooting for things to work out.
Yes.
Like she really like takes a liking to Christina Applegate's character. She really likes all the people she works for. It's just like a different way to play a character that's a boss. And I really enjoyed that, especially for that year.
She's kind of like if my mom were the vice president of a large corporation. Like, she's like, she's well-meaning, and she really is like affable and likes everybody and wants people to succeed. Mm-hmm. But also, like, it is such a chore to like make sure you know exactly like what she's like, what her thought process is and what she's actually asking of you. Yeah.
Yeah. She actually,
I need my mom now, like, yeah, okay. Like as like a, you know, retired, semi-retired, like.
And I think this time out, she kind of reminded me of my first boss in corporate America, who
Ted
was,
Turner?
No.
Mrs. Turner?
No.
Teddy Jr.
No, it had no Turner
Mrs.
in the
Teddy
name.
Mrs. Teddy Jr.
Okay. All right. She
Agent
was,
Vladimir Putin.
No. Her name is Ronnie, and she was amazing.
Ronnie Turner.
No. And she just really, like, I was so scared when I first interviewed with her because she was like, you're my daughter's age. And I was like, oh no, please let her daughter be the CEO of a company. Please let her. And she's like, she's still finding herself. She's thinking about grad school. I was like, no, I am a corporate lady. Look, I'm wearing a suit and heels.
Nice.
And I was trying so hard to be like.
You Sue Ellen'd it.
I basically was Sue Ellen, only like. I was probably 23. I think I was 23 when I first got my corporate job. But anyway, she hired me and she was great. She was so supportive. Like at one point I was like, I think I need to fly to 4 different cities to train people up on this process. And she's like, okay.
Huh.
And like, let me and this coworker fly all over the country and meet with people and do all this stuff. And I look back on it and I'm like, wow,
that's
what
wild.
A leap.
Yeah.
But anyway, she was great and she was an incredible mentor. So I think that's probably why I connected a little bit more. Always bringing it back. Did you want to tell a story? Let Molly bring it back to some
let Molly,
related
let, yeah,
thing.
Let Molly pull it back to her professional history.
Yes.
Are we allowed to talk about the characters?
Oh, fine.
Rose is, yeah, she is like benevolent chaos. Like yep. She... I mean, even like the office, like once you get in the office, it's like, here's your desk, which is already covered in shit. My desk is over there through the archway, also covered in shit.
Yeah.
The reports that Sue Ellen has to work with are like comically oversized. Like it is basically like the ledger of like a Harry Potter bank, yeah. Right? It's like a wizard bank ledger, which is just like apparently like what, a monthly report?
QED.
2 weeks?
Quarterly, right?
Quarterly. Oh, is that quarterly? Economic development?
Yep. That's what it stands
quarterly
for.
Quarterly expensive.
Expense.
Denim.
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 It's a fabric company.
And then we have Gus.
Holy shit.
Who is a sex vampire.
He is a creep.
Vampire.
I don't understand why he's a vampire.
At one point he like puts his hand over his chest and he like wiggles.
His finger wiggling is so disturbing.
His whole physicality is like, I wrote down, he is like a business Ace Ventura. Like, he is so wild because he's like so gross, but he's such a like just cartoonish imp about, I don't know.
The actor does the most incredible.
The actor is crushing it.
He was creepy. Like, he gets real creepy.
Yeah.
But then, we knew he was creepy, like, in the first scene where he doesn't really do anything. It is just like, yeah, the way he, like, makes eye contact is like, ooh. Yeah.
He's got a little bit of, like, a Nick Cage mania to him.
Yes.
Of, like, just really going for it.
Yes.
But everything's like this, he's creepy and playful in like, a...
Yeah, it's like, on paper, he is just, like, a straight up, like, threatening past HR nightmare.
Yeah.
But, like... The way he plays it is just sort of like, oh, we're just friends. Let's just talk about if we maybe just had casual sex right now.
Yeah, if you want. If not, oh,
if
that's
not,
fine
I'm
with
just
me.
Kidding.
Let's go to the symphony.
Right? Yes, he does. Oh my God. Like, yeah, he has just like these weird little like face. He's like, yeah, he's almost like it's like there is a wild animal wearing a human suit in there.
Yeah, like an exorcist.
Right?
It's like how, you know, how snakes are unsettling because you can't really like predict how they're going to move.
Yes, that is totally it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Too wiggly.
Yes.
He's
he does a great job too of being just believable enough.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Like you're just like, yeah, that guy could make it pretty far.
Especially in like 1989, 90.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh.
Cause like,
super creep.
Cause he's never.
Well done though.
Yeah, because he's never like, I mean, he's never like overtly hostile, right? He's never like forcing himself on someone in like the way you would picture it. Like, he's certainly like invading people's personal space and definitely like way too like he's way too comfortable just talking to people about wanting to have sex with them.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know, like the most horrific thing he did is still like a cartoon character where he's like, they're at lunch or whatever. And Christina Applegate kind of like kind of fucks up and sort of like makes some mention of like, I don't know, something about her like high school or something or, right? And then he's just
the
like,
martini
she's like, oh, women don't like to ask like their age to be asked or whatever. And then he's just like, oh, you know, women as they get older, they mature, they ripen.
Juices start flowing.
I thought it was like, oh, that's a creepy innuendo. And then he goes
further.
He keeps going.
Yes.
Oh, I can't remember what he says next because I blocked it out.
I think after juices start flowing, we all just sort of like blacked out for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
He's in, like, I wrote down like Gus, what did I say? Cause it's like, this is how I felt by the end. I was like, Gus sucks, but also rules. Cause like the actor is so bananas and so fun to watch him be just like the weirdest coworker.
I think part of it is that he is such a caricature of that kind of stereotype. He never like crosses a physical boundary.
Yes, right. That's
and so
what it is.
It's like he's not, he doesn't feel predatory.
Right.
He just is like, ooh, he's creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking about him compared to, was it Mannequin?
Yes.
She had
the foreign guy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He was just like, oh, why don't you just bang it out?
Yeah. Like that guy was maybe a little more menacing. I feel like he had some physicality to him. Whereas this guy is like, I don't think ever
touches her,
right? Which is like not.
The power dynamic is super messed up.
For sure.
I don't want to ever sound like it's fine.
No.
It's good, but it's like, it's more unique flavor of office creep than you normally see.
Yes.
It's also like because it's a teen movie, it's like, here's what office creeps are like for teens.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
in a way where it's like...
It's like the sanitized version of office creep.
Like what a teen would imagine. It's like when you watch a teen do improv and they're doing an office person and they're like, hey, I'm chewing on a cigar.
Ooh, I mean, I still
everybody work faster.
Yeah, only teens do.
Only
none of us have ever done that.
Only inexperienced teens do a cliched cigar
None
chomp.
Of us have yelled business, business, business.
Certainly not.
No, that's
on
child,
this podcast.
Child things. Who else is in the office?
Oh, the jealous receptionist
we have our
very condescending and mean.
Yeah. Off-brand Parker Posey is the
what's her name? Christina? Kathy? Catherine?
Oh, Carolyn,
Carolyn.
Is the character's name.
Who like wants the job that Swell gets.
Which to be fair, like
that would suck.
She is honestly like kind of in the right to be like, fuck you.
Yeah. But Rose hates her because she's a grump.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Rose is clearly just like a good witch of the East or wherever from, wherever Glinda's from.
Yeah. And then Carolyn's got her bud, Bruce, played by David Duchovny.
Oh, it was David Duchovny's like first role.
He is wearing
the most 90s.
He's wearing like a shirt that is essentially the backdrop for the titles to In Living Color.
Yeah.
His hair is like not quite a mullet.
It's like a slick back mullet.
It's like a
man.
Yeah. It's like just, it's very voluminous, but it's still like severely combed
back.
And
then the 90s, you know, suit jacket with sleeves pulled up.
It was
up.
Like a suit jacket that they had bought for a linebacker. Mm-hmm. And then just because the shoulder pads didn't even start until the edge of his shoulders. You know what I mean? They weren't like on his shoulders.
Yeah.
He dressed like how I imagine her younger brother with the girlfriend would dress as an adult.
Yes.
Her younger brother is wearing, like when you first meet him and he's just like flirting with his girlfriend, like he is wearing like the most sleeve, right? Of any character in the movie.
Yep. And he is like head of inventory and she's mean to him once because he's kind of mean to her. But then he's like, we got to get her and they scheme.
Are they a couple?
I think so.
Unclear.
Okay. He might be my MVP simply for at the end of the movie, which I know we will get to and talk about in great detail. But there is a moment where he and Carolyn feel like, haha, we've done it. She's ruined. And they look at each other and David Duchovny just goes, yes. And like he pumps his fist in the most like subtle, barely in frame way.
No, it crushes.
Like it's almost like he improvised it, but wasn't confident that the director would be okay with it. So he just kind of like,
I got him the Mulder role.
That's what got him the mother role.
Oh, and he also, every time, he like cracks his neck in a weird way.
Yeah. It was so weird.
And it kind of reminded me of Men in Black, you know, when the guy's like in the Edgar suit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, maybe he's an alien from X-Files already.
So what I think we established is the canon of this movie now is that all the men who work at GLAW are in fact otherworldly creatures in human skin suits.
Yeah.
I would like anyone who works at GAW, honestly.
Honestly, yeah. Rose.
Rose is like Rose. a benevolent
yeah.
interdimensional creature.
And then the woman that does Sue Ellen's work for her.
Oh, yeah, Kathy.
She is so sweet. She's a great character actress. I can't remember her name right
now.
Yeah,
I can't either. She's on, she's the receptionist in Twin Peaks, and mm-hmm. she's like my favorite part of that show.
Yeah.
She's such a goofball.
So great. But yeah, she like, yeah, everybody's kind of an oddball.
Ooh, and the guy who like is weirdly present a lot in like the manufacturing
Franklin?
Wing, but like doesn't actually have that many lines. Oh, like it almost Franklin. Feels like they cut his role down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe.
Because he's just like very like prominent. Like, you know, they set him up. He's like very distinct looking for everybody else on the scene. Mm-hmm. But like he doesn't talk that much, right?
I feel like they just needed a person to anchor the reason she was exposed to all of the stuff they made so that she could become inspired.
Yeah, and they needed to show that she was good at talking to all the people.
Mm. Oh, right.
She goes down some and skill.
Like comforts Franklin.
So there's like a cut 30 minutes where Franklin is like showing her the ins and outs of like manufacturing uniforms and like how to cut patterns. And,
yeah, telling her about his hopes and dreams. Ugh. He seemed very sweet.
He did seem sweet. But he also, I would accept if he were just like some sort of reptilian in a human skin suit.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
All the characters, like they're, except for her, there aren't any really like regular characters.
No.
They're all kind of out of 10.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's wild because like, I think that's part of the reason that David Duchovny's performance stands out so much is because he's bad at it.
Yeah.
And like everybody else is so good at it.
Like he's being weird, but almost like he should have been weirder.
Yeah. Right? Or it's like he's in some uncanny valley between unbelievability and silly.
Yeah.
Like it's like he doesn't deliver his lines in a believable way from a silly person. He just sort of tries to be a silly person and say the words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, listen, I've never gotten booked on any feature films, so I'm not trying to be overly critical, but I'm just saying it really stands out that this is his first thing, right?
Yeah.
And how is he so good as Mulder? Like, what happens?
Different suit.
It's the suit.
That makes sense.
He couldn't act with those shoulder pads.
Yeah. Real quick.
Weighing him down.
Real quick. I glanced out of my notes and I just remembered at one point when Christina Swellen is, when she's avoiding her actual crush, who is the little brother of Carolyn, the receptionist hates her, she hides into the nearest office, which is, of course, Gus's office, who he then, of course, immediately takes to mean like, grow, grow.
Yeah.
We're down. But then he also, again, this is why he's such a weird cartoon. It's not even like you would expect a creep in a movie like this to be like, oh, let's have sex in my office. No, it's like, oh, we'll go to wherever this weekend. I'll fly. I've got my pilot's license. Who are you, Gus?
Yeah. The other thing that makes him kind of a deviation from your standard office creep is he never really reacts angrily to all of her rebuffments, right?
No.
Like, that's the more standard way of, like, no, Gus, you're a creep, and then he gets mad. But he's like, it's all cool with him. Like, he's so chill about being a creep.
Like, he literally
getting rejected.
He literally says when they're at lunch, like, or if you don't want to, just kidding.
Yeah, he still sucks. I want to make sure everyone knows. He still sucks. He just captured my imagination.
Yes.
Because he's a sex vampire.
Yes.
I maintain it.
No, I'm with you. I agree. He is a sex vampire. He's an incubus.
That's right.
That has found himself in.
Oh, that's why you were showing me that.
Did you not understand why?
Wait, what?
We had an incubus moment together.
When Dan said he's a sex member, it's like, oh, like a succubus. I'm like, what's a male succubus? And then I looked it up and it's incubus. And I said to Dan,
I have the band.
Yes. And because it's like Van, I showed it to Dan and said, I have to turn in my turn of the millennium teenage boy card.
I just thought you were looking up bands. And then we started singing Pardon Me While I Burn.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, Incubus is a male sex vampire demon creature, and that's what Gus is what we're saying.
Sure,
but he's like clearly acclimated to the world of 1990 Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as he needs to.
Yeah. The perfect place for an incubus.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And you know what, though? Okay, so here's, let's talk about the corporate structure for just a second.
Sure.
So Rose,
it makes no sense.
Is the head of operations.
Vice president of something operations, yeah.
But she's doing sales meetings, and Gus, who's the head of sales, is just sitting on his hands?
Unclear what he's doing.
Like, why is she having to save the whole company?
And also, for some reason, Swell is an executive, even though she's an executive assistant.
Yeah.
She makes $37,000.
$37,500?
Yeah, man.
How much do you think that was?
That's a hot deal in 1990.
Yeah, that's
especially
good
for a 17-year-old. Goddamn.
Yeah,
for a
17-year-old.
But then she discovers...
Taxes.
The Internal Ripoff Service.
That's right, the tax man. Old Ronnie Riggs taking her hard-earned money, right, even though he was desperately trying to not do that, but yeah, also not give it to her, to give it to only the people who own the company.
That's right.
Oh, he's a monster. Yeah. All right.
She thought she was going to get a big old check, but instead she got $735.
Oof, rough.
It's like $83,000
today.
That is something.
Yeah.
That is a great entry level.
And again,
job.
Like, she's raising four children.
That's mm-hmm right.
It's still like she
for
has
two
to
months.
For 2 months. She's got to stretch it out.
I do love that she just takes her resume directly from a book. That is so good.
Yeah. And because Rose is not from this plane of existence, she's just like, wow, you're so qualified.
You're from Vassar?
Doesn't
great
question it. Yeah. I think I said out loud at least half a dozen times, she is the luckiest teenager in the world because she just keeps, as you said, Forrest Gumping her way.
Failing upward.
Oh,
upward.
My God.
Really?
Like, literally, character actor lady, whose name we can't remember, comes in and just like, oh, I don't have a lot to do right now. And she's like, do you want to do this incredibly cartoonishly giant report for me? And she's so excited. Boom. Problem solved.
And Rose always sees the good. So no matter what, yes, Carolyn thinks she has her on.
Yep.
You know, she's like, oh, great delegation.
I don't really understand why she just like completely dismissed the, she's a 17-year-old girl, here is her ID.
I think she was just like, this is just so petty. This is just a really petty time and place and way to tell her, right? Because it's not just a dig at Sue Ellen, it's really a dig at Rose.
That's true.
And I think that's what Carolyn did not factor in.
Yeah.
But I also, or is it okay? Are we talking about the ending now or should we do any
guess
of the middle?
I mean, I do want to talk about Kenny.
Yeah,
we got to talk about the siblings.
Okay, let's talk about the little ones first because they're easy because they're just like there for one scene to be like, haha, kids are chaos.
Yeah,
so there's
they're there to be taken care of.
There's Zach, who's the
lovelorn.
Zach is the guy with the girlfriend.
Yes.
Like, oh, she might leave me for Jacob.
Yeah.
Yes, Cynthia or something.
And he buys a diamond with the petty cash.
She's just like, oh.
Over, I don't know if we said it, but she basically spends all of the petty cash, and that's why they have to really hustle to not get found out that they embezzled a shitload of money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
$3,000.
Is it only $3,000?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
that's a lot.
For a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, they spend part of it on bodacious ice sculpture. We'll talk about it. then we have
Walter,
who's the little one who's obsessed with like game shows,
he
right?
Loves TV,
on TV.
And,
yeah.
He's a quizoid,
as his older brother calls him, which is wow.
And he falls off the roof, breaks his leg.
Well, which hold on. Gets Let's talk about why he falls off the roof. Okay. He falls off the roof because he takes some of Swell's petty cash to buy a state-of-the-art entertainment system, which apparently in 1990 is like a very large shelf with like a 20. Maybe 24-inch TV at the top, a shelf dedicated solely to, I assume, blank VHS tapes.
Yeah.
A lot of VCR.
But audio like, equipment.
Yeah, what else? There was
like
every
receiver.
Yeah.
Listen, that Probably was the thing. It. You got a tower of stuff.
I guess the CD changer they use at the party, that must have been from that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Still, wow. That's like his one thing. And then he's like, oh, it doesn't work.
And instead of helping him like a good big brother, Kenny ignores him.
Hanging with his burnout friends.
Because he's getting high on marijuana.
We'll talk about it.
And eating too many snacks that Sue Ellen is having to provide through her hard work.
So Walter goes up on the roof himself to try to fix the antenna. They have, I don't know, old shingles. He falls. And I believe as somebody bet in the first half, he has a threatening moment.
Yep.
That brings the children to Responsibility Town.
Yes.
You're welcome. But before Kenny ever even got close to the gates of Responsibility Town, he was living a life that I feel like we must explore.
Yeah, well, we forgot about the younger sister.
Oh, yeah, Melissa. Well, yeah.
She just wants to be able to play sports.
That's right. She just needs someone to fucking take her to Little League to sign her up
at 11:30.
She doesn't spend any of the cash, right? She doesn't really cause any problems.
I don't think so.
She might have bought something, but I don't think it was very memorable. Yeah.
She just wanted to, I mean, she was sort of just presented as like, oh, she's the weird kid. Because we introduced to her just like torching cockroaches with a magnifying glass. Yeah, she's the one that suggests they bed the babysitter to fit her in the trunk.
Yeah.
But after that, she just kind of hangs out. It's just like, I want to play baseball. She That's like her whole deal after
vent
that.
Vent some energy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sports are good for that.
Good for her.
Then we have Zach, the eldest brother.
Kenny.
Kenny?
Jesus.
Oh, okay.
Kenny's the oldest.
That's right. Kenneth by the end.
Yes.
Kenny, big time burnout. He's got friends who are named, I think.
Oh, I wrote them down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see if I get him. Lizard.
Yep.
Hellhound.
Yep.
Mole.
Yep.
And.
Roach?
Roach? I don't know the last one.
What's the first letter?
S.
Snake?
Nope.
No. Satan? Snorty.
Sleepy.
I wish Slinky. It was snorty.
Skull.
Sloper.
Skull.
And then I'm pretty sure, because at some point when they're getting high and getting the dog high instead of helping Walter set up the entertainment system, I'm pretty sure one of the kids calls Kenny Scruff.
Oh.
Right. They're eating his Belgian waffles. He's just like, oh, Scruff, maybe you could do some more of those chocolate caramel mocha, whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that's his nickname in the gang of burnout public urinators.
Yeah.
who are like, we'll stay in school forever and not do anything with our lives.
Yeah, they're getting Woo-hoo! Bad grades. They're smoking marijuana. They're listening to rock and roll music.
Oh, yeah. We know this because they say it's rock and roll multiple times throughout the movie.
They call someone Metallica breath.
Which makes zero sense. What does that even mean?
It seems to me like... like somebody wrote that character using AI before AI knew anything.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, that you're right. That felt like some producer came to like the youngest page at the studios is like, Jenkins, you know how the kids talk, right? Yeah. And he's like 32, right? He's just like, okay.
Metallica there,
ride the lightning. Yeah. Am I right?
Yeah.
Oh man, the script is so solid though. It is so good. There were some real bangers in there.
There were some. I feel like Kenny had a couple of real good zingers throughout the film.
But his arc is he like after Walter breaks his leg.
Yes.
He like has a moment of like, I should have been there for you because his job was to take care of the kids.
Yes.
That's what they flipped the pizza for. Yes. One gets a job, the other takes care of the kids.
Yep.
And then I think I actually appreciate the pacing of his arc because he still is like a little bit of a shit when like they're talking about where'd the money go and he's like giving his sister crap.
Yeah.
But then he starts watching Julia Childs on TV during the day and essentially learns to cook.
Hell yes.
And like you see his waffles go from like burnt pieces of crap, but he's like proud of them to like beautiful waffles, to be honest. And he like prepares the whole dinner for the giant fashion presentation. Cuts his hair, goes by Kenneth.
Yes. We should mention, for Beth's sake, that the house that Kenny keeps until before his transformation was maybe the most stressed out Beth has ever been.
It's just there's garbage everywhere. Like they haven't cleaned anything at all.
No.
And it's confusing because they, you know, there's a point where they're talking about like, you haven't done your chores. But it's like nobody's done their chores.
Clearly.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not like it's just like a one day thing where that's what happened.
I was so impressed by Sue Ellen's patience with the situation.
Oh my God, right?
That she just doesn't even bother with that much exasperation and just moves on.
She's got to make that money.
Gives them the room to grow into what they need to do, right? Because she's not like, they're not doing it because they got yelled at by Sue Ellen.
Right.
No, it's because she's a good mom.
She's such a better mom than her mom.
Yeah. And we get the sort of the peak of their We Are the Parents Now arc where Swell and Kenny.
This was genuinely LOL.
I loved it so much. They have like a classic husband-wife combo of like, I'm not appreciated at home. You didn't even say how good the house looked.
Yeah. You should have called. You're 3 hours late.
Dinner's burnt.
Yeah.
The kids are already in bed.
I already fed the kids. I would have planned dinner differently if I knew you were.
Swell's like, well, I've been working all day. And she goes there. I have to go through gridlock traffic and blah, 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 blah. And they both play it beautifully.
So good. I think
it's like pretty straight. Yeah. Like this is, you could see this in any generic drama or TV show, but it's children and their siblings.
Yeah. I think my favorite line is when Kenny's like, you're the one with the car. We never go out anymore. That was fantastic.
And then they get to the end of like understanding each other and like they are a team.
Yeah, it's weird because that's the scene where like Beth was saying, like that's where it seems like with how movies work, like they'd be like, oh, that's why mom's so whatever. But no, they're more or less like, yeah, this sucks for us specifically.
Yeah.
And then good button on that scene, too, because he's like, Kenny is angrily fluffing the pillows on the couch.
Broom.
And whisking the couch.
Oh, my God.
And Swell's like, I didn't even ask you to whisk the couch. Yeah. And he just goes, like, mildly defeated, it needed to be whisked. It's like he's really internalized keeping house as, like, finding its own intrinsic value.
Yes, but let's...
This movie's deeper than I would have imagined.
Yes, but at the same time, let us... circle back in corporate terms to the main impetus for why they suddenly must keep house. And that is that Rose, probably because she, for some reason, was the head contact for that sales bid.
Mm-hmm.
It fails. It's rejected by the school board. Probably, again, because for whatever reason they gave Rose the job of being the lead on that. And she is a chaos agent.
Hold, please. Rose was blinded by ambition because she loves things and she would love for things to work out and she thought that it would.
Yes.
But Christina Applegate, Sue Ellen's character, tried to be like, hey, kids don't like wearing uniforms. She foresaw that even if Rose got the superintendent to sign off.
Mm. Superintendent of schools.
Superintendent of schools. Yes. Yep.
All of
Not
them.
Not specified.
Non-elected, I assume.
Yep. And of course, you know, the kids catch wind of it and have huge protests.
Stage a protest.
Including burning uniforms, which is very funny. But I don't know. I'll just say, okay.
What? Okay. Great.
There was going to be a sentence there, and I just gave up.
I'm not saying she's bad at her job. I'm saying that shouldn't be her job.
That's fair.
Although she is kind of bad at her job.
But because she fails, she comes back to her office in a panic.
And we're shutting down.
Just like, are they M&Ms?
Yep.
She just starts eating M&Ms.
That's after she aggressively packs all her houseplants into a cardboard box.
It's like, okay, that's a little bit, you know, premature.
Yeah.
Then, like, maybe, so she starts slamming M&Ms.
Ugh.
There's a whole bunch of scenes that happen, and then we cut back, and she's still eating M&Ms.
Which means that she picked them all up back from the floor, put them back in the jar, and is now just sort of, like...
eating them one by one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh.
But then we get the most, mind-boggling and maybe the longest montage I've ever seen in a movie. It is, so basically... She says, like, you go talk to the people. You go talk to Franklin. You're so good at talking. I mean, she's basically like, you're so good at talking to the peasants downstairs, right? And then she goes down there, and she is inspired by the various fabrics and colors of the various uniforms that Gaw creates. And she's like, what if we combined them and made fashion? Yeah. And then she apparently takes her boss to lunch and gives a great proposal. And the boss said, this is great. Let's do it. Then we just get this, like, ever-present sequence of she's like, oh, we'll do it at my house, which I don't remember why she
she has to pull the money from cash. She's got no petty cash left.
Yes, she has no petty cash to rent the thing, the ballroom, whatever.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I'll do it at my house. It's lovely. Then we get this insane montage where she's being a fashion designer and apparently crushing it.
Yeah.
But then also Kenny and all of his burnout friends are apparently incredibly skilled contractors.
Yes.
They're up. Making an ice sculpture is the peak.
And it was righteous.
Bodacious. Ice sculpture. But they're doing like full-on carpentry, repainting the exterior.
The children are like skim cleaning the pool.
Yeah, yes. And they refilled the pool. Yes. It was empty.
They needed that cool walk runway for the
fashion show. And it's good that they had it. Yes. Just like, it's a lot of work.
It's amazing that I didn't even know they had a pool until that scene.
Yeah, it's a nice house.
It was unclear.
It keeps
I just want to say.
Yes.
That situation rings true.
Which part?
For at least my high school experience, that the people who were smoking a lot of pot were also the people who bought houses for $30,000.
Yeah.
Totally refurbished them and then started flipping houses and became like land baron, like very successful contractors.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
smoke weed,
you know?
Kids
smoke weed every day.
Okay. Teens.
Oh, speaking of the teens. Christina Applegate looks very cool smoking cigarettes.
Yes.
Yes. She's smoking so many cigarettes.
Yes. Yeah. In front of her mom.
Right in front of her mom.
In front of her boss.
Yeah.
In front of David Duchovny and Gus. It's 1990, baby. 1991. Whatever
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
She's 17. She can buy them.
Is that true? In 1990?
I think so, yeah.
New York.
LA. No, I'm pretty. I mean, yeah, I think it wasn't like 16 or 17 to buy cigarettes.
I've only lived
here.
Could have
been 18.
Local reference.
At any rate, she really. And, you know, at first you're like, man, her mom is just really giving up that she's not saying anything about the cigarette, which may also be true.
Sure.
But it also kind of helps you think, okay, this is part of how she pulls off, mm-hmm. like looking put together and having a manicure and being very good at smoking.
Yeah, she looks ripe. Her juices are flowing.
Yuck. Disgusting. And you know, she was 18 when
really?
This was filmed. Yeah.
Oh, like weird.
She's great.
She does so good.
She's like carries the whole film.
She's got Riz.
She's got Riz.
Am I right, teens?
I think so. Smoke weed. Didn't tell us if we said that right.
You know what I learned today?
What?
Stands for charisma.
Whoa, yes. Whoa, whoa.
Didn't know that.
Fun fact for
I'm an old lady now. Nice old lady.
Inside.
Inside. Died of natural causes. Babysitter's dead this whole time. Never addressed again the entirety of the movie until the very end.
Yeah.
Well, but they did like, one thing I did appreciate this movie is that they take her to a real mortuary.
I genuinely assumed before we started the movie, they were just going to like bury her in the backyard.
Or put her in a freezer or something awful.
And then I just remember that she has a car that they use briefly.
Oh yeah.
Until it is stolen by drag queens.
That never comes back.
No.
It's
Liza Minnelli is driving.
Yes.
And then there's definitely Marilyn Monroe. And I don't know if that was Dolly Parton or someone
We'd
else.
Have to
I
couldn't freeze the frame.
Quite catch
but
it.
Kenny runs out and yells something like, "The damn queens are stealing our car."
I think someone even says like, "Are those drag queens?" And they haven't touched the car yet.
Yeah.
So we're like, "Oh, that's a weird line." And then like, "Oh no, they are in fact drag queens."
Like, I was trying to figure out if it was 90s homophobia, like associating that with crime in a way that is like
the teen version of that.
Like, what are you talking about?
I think my vibe was like it was just a very LA thing for very glamorous people to want an old glamorous car.
Sure.
I mean, it was a funny visual to have like Liza Minnelli stealing a car.
Yeah, being like, "Let's roll."
And then you get the line, "What are we going to tell the police? Liza Minnelli stole our car, our Buick." It's not even our Buick.
It's great.
Yeah, it really leads to a lot of problems. So it was a creative way to get rid of the car.
Yes, it certainly
it was. Creative, yeah.
It certainly was.
And they have to get a ride from Clown Dog.
Oh, Clown Brian. Dog.
Well, I want to talk about the Grunion briefly. Brian.
Oh.
They're meat cute.
Brian slash Clown Dog.
More like M-E-A-T cute. Am I right?
Yeah, respect the meat.
That's on the wall of Clown Dog. Amazing.
Clown Dog's like a burger place.
Yeah, he basically asked her by saying like, "Oh, there's a Grunion run tonight," which is the most insane piece of dialogue I've ever heard in my life.
They meet each other at the Clown Dog.
They work there.
They work there.
Yes.
She works there for one shift.
Very bad at cleaning.
Very bad.
Fat.
Oh, does not understand sloshing?
No. Like, what was she trying to do?
She was trying to pour it on the floor.
It was so gross.
I feel like the director was like, "Okay, so you're gonna wash it, but it's gonna keep spilling."
Yes.
But the way that she was doing was like literally just scooping it out onto the floor and onto her shirt.
She was like the before person in an infomercial, right? Just like, "Oh, it's
does
so
this
hard.
Ever happen to you?
A better way.
This sponge doesn't work at all."
Yeah. And then she gets no advice from her manager, who's just like, "Oh, you forgot to put a smile on your face,
Mr.
I'm a
Egg.
Batman villain."
Oh, yeah. Basically Dr. Robotnik.
Mr. Egg. Yeah.
And Eggman. So she says she quits and she says goodbye to Brian and you think, oh no.
Well, but then they go to where the Grunion are running. Grunion are fish who flop up onto the sand.
And you know this because of your time in California?
Yeah, I'm into oceanography just like Brian.
Brian tells her about this situation.
He explains the Grunions.
He explains the Grunions, which was helpful because I did not know what it was.
No idea.
Sue Ellen knew what it was.
She knew about the Grunion, like in a general sense.
He explained the general.
Specific. Oh, crikey, the grunge ninja throwing up.
Oh, the grunge ninja coming up to the stairs. The lady grunge comes up and drops her eggs down the sand, don't she? Then the little male grunge comes up and fertilizes them. They don't have intercourse like we do. I mean, human beings, it's me, Brian.
That's right. Ace date move from Brian.
Ace move. He's just like horny fish.
Flopping fish are fertilizing each other's eggs. Now, you know, it's in the air.
There is an incredible moment of there it is in the air. By in the air, it is, of course, on the shoreline between their feet.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, said we, it now, I feel, okay. All right. Let's just back it up a little bit.
Okay.
Teenage Molly would like to mention that they have the cutest, like, kiss scene.
It's so adorably awkward.
It is so awkward. And it's like, there is no further distance on the planet than the distance between you and the person you're about to kiss for the first time. Mm. Like, it is like a football field that you have to figure out how to overcome to, like, lean in and figure it out, right?
Yeah,
and this movie deals with that in such the cutest way.
So cute.
It's so sweet. They finally kiss, and it's so romantic. And then the camera pans down to their feet.
Yeah. Yes.
And there are these, I don't know, some intern just, like, throws some fish on the floor or whatever. But there's just, like, fish flopping around on their bare feet.
Just a sandbar, a horny grunion.
It is so gross.
It's like dead minnows.
Did they bang?
What?
The grunions are a metaphor for teen sex.
Yeah.
They had sex in the clown dog car.
No.
Yes.
I don't think so.
I actually don't think so either.
No, but the grunions.
Clearly.
The grunions are banging away.
As much as they can.
Grunions be banging. Oh, yeah.
It is the itchiest scene. I mean, it goes from being so sweet to so gross.
Yeah, that is the noise it makes. It's so gross.
It's you think bananas. Of
somebody in Foley going, I don't know what grunions sound like. How about this?
They probably just were like, I guess
but
I'll
there's
just...
no way those were actual grunions who happened to come ashore at that moment,
oh,
right?
No way. No.
Oh, I don't know.
Some intern Could just threw so? Some fish on the ground.
Yes.
I like to believe it was the real grunions. They
timed it perfectly. The magic of film.
I'm sorry, I'm wrong. Somebody with a bucket of water and some grunions in it was off camera and just splashing it at their feet.
Yeah.
Oh, my feet itch just thinking
Love
about
it. So much.
Anyway, it's very romantic.
That noise that you made, by the way, quick tangent, reminds me of the noise that the babysitter makes in the animated opening of the film.
Yes. Incredible.
Which turns out it is voiced by Homer Simpson.
Hmm.
Fun fact.
Oh, wow.
Fun fact.
The climax of this movie is the big fashion show sales pitch. Also, meeting at her house. Cleanup is done. Crushed it. All her high school teen friends are going to be the models. Kenny is doing a bang-up job.
Yeah.
Audacious ice sculpture.
Younger brother and the Little League team are the servers.
Yeah.
So cute.
The burnouts are the valets, and they're so good at it.
It's going flawlessly.
Flawlessly.
Until... Clown dog shows up.
Clown dog, fucking clown dog.
Okay, so clown dog pulls up in his truck.
Yes.
Which plays a tune.
The clown dog.
The clown dog tune that we all know.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And especially his sister would know because he comes and brings her lunch at work every day.
So out of the way.
She would be familiar with the song.
Totally.
It's not until he gets out of the truck that she's like, Brian?
Also, he's talking like over a loudspeaker.
Yes.
Which, why does his delivery car have a loudspeaker? Maybe it also runs ads and it's
come get your hot dogs.
Yeah, maybe they do like a curbside food truck sometimes in front of the big gauze buildings.
Number 14, come and get your...
Also, their chili is
so
maybe
gross.
The grossest food I've seen in a movie.
Okay.
Good job.
I think... Props. There are at least 20 people yelling at the podcast right now because we have skipped over the fashion show.
Did we?
Looks great. Yeah.
No. What? Okay.
All right. Podcast over.
Yeah. What?
Good night, everybody.
Before we get to our final reviews,
What? No. You stop. No. There is, it is an incredible fashion show. As a teen, I was like, no one would wear those clothes. That looks horrible to me.
Like any fashion show.
Yeah, maybe. But like the way these actors are bringing it, they're doing spins, they're doing kicks.
They're doing so much.
Dancing. And like it is so much more than models typically do. And then there's a line that hasn't become popular within my circles, but apparently is very popular and part of it's a cult classic, where she goes, okay, Katrina, thank you, Katrina. Because she's trying to rush to finish
and
it up.
Those, the models that are happening when she's trying to rush it are the best part. Cause they're like, clearly they were, you know, they all have the signature dance that they're doing and they're all like still going for it. And then they all just like stop as soon as Swell is like, all right, thank you.
And Katrina does give a very good look of like, what the fuck?
I gotta do my move. I worked on this for weeks. Yeah.
Yep. It is so good. And I remember when I was a kid, I was watching, like, Brian professing his love is super awkward, and you wish he would hush. But at least he had, or, like, notice what he's coming up on, right?
Yeah, like, what the fuck,
it's like,
dude?
Oh, is she having a party? It's like, well, maybe just scope out the situation.
Before you're yelling into the little megaphone of your truck.
My real fury is saved for her mom. Mm. Because there is no reason for her mom to be like, you're in trouble, young lady.
That's the first thing she said.
Yeah, I said no parties later. And it's like, this is not the party that you're thinking about. Like,
have you noticed that there's valet parkers and the pool is filled and your house is 40? Painted?
Yeah, everyone's an adult.
And they're having... like past appetizers and canapes.
They have built a bridge over your pool, Mom.
There's like floating lotus flowers. Yeah.
There's not enough for me. There's not enough like of that scene of her walking around the house, like being like, what the, like, did they paint in here?
Right. Like, or being like, why is there a little leaguer with a tray of canapes?
Right. Yeah. Instead, she's just like, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Which is just so like a mom, am I right?
Yes. Parents don't understand.
I guess you could kind of just find it. She's like super jet lagged and it's just like very disoriented.
Also, she's probably been up all night at midnight.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
I mean, why is she back a week early? I assume they broke up.
Oh, no.
That's the only reason she would come back. It's not like she was calling her kids constantly or missed them. She hasn't seen these kids in at least 7 weeks.
Yeah.
And she's not even like hugging the little ones or like happy to be home.
That's true. Crikey, miss. I just don't want to be tied down.
I'm going to go visit my cousin Stu.
Oh, it's me, Steve Irwin. I'm a free crikey.
What?
A free crikey?
Yep,
wow.
Oh, dear.
Oh, the sheep sharing convention's coming. Oh, shit. I'm turning
into. Okay, all right.
And Ray Eggins?
Oh, wow.
Bead.
At any rate, the bead.
Mom. We've got to go to bead. No, bead. That's more Kiwi anyway.
Yeah, that is more. Yeah.
And meeting. Beaned.
Did the car end up with the Gale car?
So there's this incredible role reversal where Sue Ellen basically sends her mom to bed. And only then does her mom kind of notice that things have changed.
Yeah.
Her mom really stinks. Like, she really is not observant.
Yeah. Also, the youngest kid calls Swell mommy. Oof.
Yes.
With her mom standing right there.
How would that not be 1,000 daggers to your heart?
Yeah, like, 7 weeks. I left my family for 7 weeks to go down to Perthtown.
Nope. What?
Trying to merge town and Perth.
Oh, my God.
Crikey. Will they back? Anyway, I went down to Australia for 7 weeks.
Down to Perth?
To get down to Pound Town.
Yes.
And I came back and my eldest daughter is now the surrogate mother.
Yes.
And is doing a better job than I did. Much better. The house was not in order when she left.
No. It certainly got worse.
Which
for a
is
while.
Like, okay, she's got 5 kids. Yeah. Like, it's no one totally. Expects that. No. They shouldn't anyway, but like Applegate did it.
Yeah.
It looks good.
And all the kids are getting along. They're all like, okay, I'll go to bed. Like, no one is giving back talk. Mm-hmm. Smooth running house.
Melissa's not like eviscerating a cat in the backyard or whatever.
She's getting her energy out.
That's right.
Through the magic of team sports.
Oh, and even
somebody just taking an interest.
And even the burnouts are like successfully running the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is then my other MVP, because as soon as mom starts yelling, they cut to spotlight and just goes, busted.
That kid rules. Yeah, the burnouts are incredibly supportive.
So supportive.
Kenny is like saying, I might try in school again, and his burnout friend is like, why? And then he's like, I don't know, it could be cool
go to
like
culinary school,
do something. Yeah, go to culinary school. He's like, yeah, that would be cool.
This is after he was like very much expected. He's just like, oh, I got a date with Swell's friend Nicole, and he just goes, hot.
The nurse.
Oh yeah, the nurse.
And he did have a crush on Nicole from the very beginning.
And right. She noticed once he cleaned up. God damn.
Yeah, she's like.
She was down to flock.
She's
Well, especially a chef.
Will they bang?
Why?
Why?
Oh, like a flock of sheep, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, got it.
Somehow that was more of an Australian accent than anything that you've done previously.
Oh, dare you.
But then what's incredible is Sue Ellen has all the maturity not only to like get through all that stuff, like she has kind of a breakdown at the microphone and says, I'm so sorry I lied to everyone. I can't handle this. I can't be your hub. It's very sweet. And I long for a time when being a hub was a joke and not like how we actually described ourselves in corporate America. Mm. And anyway, so she then like faces the music in turn. She faces the music with her mom. With her boss, with her boyfriend, like all in one night.
And she nails it every time.
Oh, it was so good. It was great.
Yeah. I think she could do better than Clown Dog.
Oh, for sure.
But I think he's all right.
He'll be good
he's all right.
He'll be good for the rest of the summer before she goes to college.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Try out some stuff.
Yeah, the back of the Clown Dog.
Get down to the, watch the grunt yun run.
No. No.
We're trying so hard.
That's what people love in comedy. It's just a lot of effort.
Just keep going.
Yeah.
Just keep going.
Beth will make it sound funny and cool.
I don't know.
Okay. I have a question from the harsh eyes of 2024. Was anyone else when Rose was just like, yeah, I don't care if you're 17. You're great at this. Take the job. And she's like, I might try college. Were you also like, no, keep the job.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't waste your fucking time.
Yeah. I was like, if you're going to get training
you're
on the job.
Starting at 37.5 and you're 17.
No.
Just go for it.
Yep.
But you know, I feel like Rose will be her champion.
For sure. I mean, she said she like got connections to Vassar.
She's right her into Vassar.
Jesus Christ.
Luckiest teen.
Fucking middle class white women in Los Angeles County.
Yeah. Fictitious 1990s. I will say this though, and I mentioned that this is okay if I bring this up during the podcast. So I don't know what it is.
Linton.
No way we can answer that.
It's very personal. Did I tell you something in confidence?
Story about
find out.
When you were looking for a job,
uh-huh.
Your dad, was it your dad was like, I don't know yet, was like.
Oh, this is me and it was my brother.
Yeah!
No way!
Hey, at least it was one of us this time.
Wow.
Yes, my dad told my brother just to ride the elevator up and down with a resume and chat up. Looking for executives, essentially, in the elevator.
Which, like, clearly would have worked in this
how
time.
Get a job.
This version of LA,
see, that's why I think he thought that would work, because maybe it did.
Yeah, the roses of the world.
Yeah.
Few and far between.
Yeah.
Boy, that is so funny. I'm sorry.
Dan and I are different people. There's a reason I call myself also Dan. It doesn't mean that I am also Dan Jaquette.
Yeah, maybe that was unclear.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, maybe we have to rethink
that. 10 years in, there are four hosts.
Wait, what?
What?
I don't introduce myself twice.
Oh.
Listeners, if you thought there was only one Dan this entire time, please call in.
Yeah, there's Dan and then there's Australian Dan.
No. Hey,
it's me out in the didgeridoo.
Oh, I'm also Dan. Coming at you from Melbourne.
Oh my God.
Should we take a quick second to see how your bets panned out?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. LA suburbs. Yes. Shoots plate. Dishes are done. Man.
Devastating.
Which I feel like, why pass on that alliteration?
No. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Dude is better.
It is much better.
When we remake this movie, we'll use Dude instead.
Inevitably. I think they might have been sensitive because the director was also the director of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh.
And the screenwriters were so nervous this was going to be turned into a silly movie. And they really
wasn't silly at all.
Were scared silly. That when they changed the title to Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Uh-huh.
Because the original title was The Real World.
What?
And it was supposed to be about Christina Applegate figuring out the real world.
That makes so much more sense.
It does. But by the time this movie, it had the title The Real World for 5 years.
Wow.
And just as it was about to come out, MTV was just about to release this new reality show.
Wow.
Where they're going to stop being nice and start getting real.
Yeah, instead, they have to kill an old woman.
Yeah. Anyway, but there's a lot of like really dark humor in it, and you can see why, you know, it's very, very funny. Okay, mom's busy. Business trip, only if the business is...
Getting down to business.
Yeah. Yep, there you go.
It's business time.
Old babysitter dies. Yeah. Yes.
That's New
pizza? Yep. I would say more waffles, but I'll still say 100% Utah.
Yeah, no pizza.
Dad is not dead. Dad pizza. Is just out of the picture and probably a jerk. They are not assassins.
We don't know.
She does go to Australia, and she does wear a weird floppy hat. It's not 2 weeks. It's 2 months.
Crazy.
A kid does get injured. There is a charade at some point. Regarding like hiding that the babysitter is dead. There are not 3 to 4 kids. There are 5 kids. Wow.
Wow.
Skeet Ulrich and Newt are not in this. No. There are horny teens. There is no leather jacket. There is a boyfriend, but not before all this happens.
Right.
Bechtel Wallace. Yes. All around. Yes. Oh, yeah. We all succeeded. Like, to our dreams.
Although mom is named Mom.
Mom. Apparently.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. There's sort of a name check of the movie. There is a fun pooch, by which we mean Elvis. Dog. Elvis, who was so great. And the dog's real name is
Bud.
Bud.
Hey, Bud knows about Bud. That's right. Right. They got the dog guy.
No to real estate squeeze. Yes to big party. Yes, mom comes home. No nosy neighbor. Yes, comeuppance. Dishwasher Dan Dudlin Assassin Pack, unsure.
That's the rating scale.
Austin.
Thank you for updating your notes as
yes.
we go.
Wow.
That's pretty fun.
That is fun. Another thing that's fun is when we engage with our fans.
Oh.
And we do that before we get to our final ratings of the movie we just watched, Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, which I wanted to sidebar. I wanted to make a bet about the punctuation. And now here we are in the second half. I don't know what it is, but I don't think there's any.
There are 2 apostrophes, sure. my friend.
Don't tell.
Don't.
Okay.
Babysitters.
Is that punctuation?
Yeah, babysitter is.
I was thinking about commas and periods and exclamation
marks. You're talking about the subset, not the superset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh.
We'd like to turn to Discord, text-based chat platform, and ask questions and comments, which we shorten to Q's and C's.
Yes.
Little
to save so much time
so
on this
much time.
Very short podcast.
Yeah. And we did it tonight. We had the GIF of Dishes Are Done, Man. And here they are.
Wow.
Taylor History asks, So does this movie teach kids how to dispose of a dead body in the future? And how Lord of the Flies does it get? Mm-hmm. I feel like, it works out to drop the body off, but it shouldn't.
No.
That's not a good plan.
No. I mean, I guess it's okay. It's probably still a better plan than burying it on your property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but their first idea was the best one, which is to call 911.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
That's what you should do if someone dies in your house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if you are like my friend of mine and your neighbor down the road is an elderly gentleman, you walk up to that my friend of mine soon after she moved in and said, can you come check? Can you come help me? I think my wife is dead. And then you get to be the one to call the police
no
and the ambulance.
Way. Wow. Oh, how awful.
Yeah.
Wow. Way to bring the podcast down.
Yep. What? Old people die.
That's true.
Listen, I will say this.
My friend was very good natured when she told the story. She was just like, yep, she was dead.
Wow.
It's a normal part of life.
Yeah.
That's intense. Speaking of what's normal, I would say in 1990, entirely possible for the police to show up and be like, this lady passed away. Was she your grandma? And they could say, sure. And they'd be like, great.
All right.
And move on.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they'd be calling Child Protective Services. But anyway.
Anyway.
Neither here nor there.
They don't
know. Kids, just call 911.
Well, if someone dies in your house.
Yes.
Oh, that's true. But don't call 911 on other people.
Yeah.
Unless you've like really thought it through. It's complicated. But listen, if someone dies in your house, call 911. Don't move the body.
Well, it's not really an emergency at that point, too. You can call a non-emergency number.
That's true.
Is that like 511?
You look it up?
411? Not 411.
Call the operator.
You're 17-year-old. You could figure out how to look it up.
Yeah. Hey, Siri.
Yeah.
Just tell it to your HomePod, and then I'll send the drones to pick it up.
Yes, the Bezos drones will come and bring the body to the mortuorium. Mortuary.
Did you know that bees have, little morticians? Or not morticians, but, little bees that take dead bees out of the hive.
Coroners?
That's their job?
They have little coroners.
Whoa.
All the bees have different jobs.
Bees are so fucking cool, man.
Bees are cool.
Respect the bees.
Much better than Bezos.
But not Bezos. Thank you. Yeah, he's a clown.
Clown dog.
He's a clown dog. How Lord of the Flies does it get? Not at all.
Not too much.
These kids aren't trying to kill each other at all.
No.
But in some ways you could argue it was more Lord of the Flies before the mom left.
Yep.
Mm. That's the real story here.
I mean, that kitchen was Lord of the Flies.
Lord of the...
There are flies.
The kitchen so many flies. Yeah. House flies. Lord of the house flies, more like, am I right?
You
up top.
Right. Yep. You're right. Up top. High five. And we're all high five.
Fra asks, is this Weekend at Bernie's? Spoiler alert, never seen either movie. For the hot teens, no.
No.
I was.
There's no amount where they have to pretend the babysitter's alive.
The only, zero amount. Literally all they have to do is mom calls, Swell says, oh she's shit. On a date. Mom calls again, Candy says, she went to the yarn store. Illusion complete.
Yeah, yarn store got me. That's, me too. That's a pretty funny dig at an old person.
Good one, but how uninvolved is this mom? Oh, she just sees and hears what she wants to,
she must
to,
be paying for those phone calls, right? The fact that she allows Kenny to be like, I gotta go, mom, and there's no conflict
call back
at all.
Or...
Yeah. I hope this is a wake-up call for the mom.
Seriously. Yeah. Oof. I don't care how good that Australian dick is. You gotta step up.
Yeah.
And how did she even... Okay, you know what? Let's just move on.
Yeah. Find some local cucumbers.
Oh!
Carzon asks, how many dishes got done in this manner? This is shooting them with a rifle. With
two
why
or
do
three.
They have a rifle?
That's a good point.
Yeah, it's just one scene. It's
what?
Mom is an assassin.
That's why she got guns.
Whoa.
This bit from the trailer is literally all I know about the movie. Hey, me too.
Hey.
Imagine that.
That's weird.
Two or three plates is the answer.
Yeah.
It's not a big part. It's just some flavor of the burnouts are being burnouts.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably implied that there's more plates because that place is just a mess.
We get a little bit of a beat later where Swell's like, where are the dishes? Yeah, yeah, and he's like, in the dishwasher. So unload the dishwasher, which maps perfectly to the mom before Cracker Jack script.
Incredible.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He says, it's Walter's job or Zach's job or whoever the fuck.
Because she said, it's Kenny's job, right?
Right.
Or something.
Exactly.
Yep.
Great. Two or three.
Joshy states, I had an adversarial relationship with authority figures while growing up, so I loved this subgenre of movies where kids outsmarted and defeated adults.
Same.
I.e. The Legend of Billie Jean, The Goonies, Matilda, etc.
The what?
The Goonies.
No, the first one.
The Legend of Billie Jean.
What is
I
that?
I never heard of it.
I don't know.
Huh.
She's not my lover, though.
I've heard that.
Oh, boy. Yep.
As children, how did the Totes team members rebel against authority for either fun, profit, or justice?
Ooh.
Thank you, Joshy. What a Q. What a C and a Q.
What a great Q.
I did not do a good job of rebelling.
No.
Internalized and feared conflict.
Yes, same.
Yeah.
I do remember once as a very young kid being very mad at my parents. Mm-hmm. And wanted to fuck shit up as much as a 5-year-old could, but also not wanting to really do any damage. So I gently turned over some things in the house and then hid behind a chair. And my mom couldn't find me. And I was like, yeah, she's worried about me. She can't find me. And that was me sticking it to her.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Take that, mom. You care. You love me and care for my safety.
Yeah.
Idiot.
Molly, I feel like you probably got something.
I mean, I for sure did lots of stuff.
You fucked off the Soviet Union for 12 years.
Yeah. I don't know. I would do, my sister was much better at letting things roll off her back, but I would fight because I would get mad at injustices, which things didn't go that well for me when I did that openly. I remember one time, I have so many. Okay. Just to give you a picture of how independent I was when I was in the, I believe the fourth grade, based on where we were living. We were in the, I was in the fourth grade, and I saw an ad on TV for a ring. It was like a emerald ring. Did I tell you about this? It was like a green stone in a ring, and it was 1995. And I happened to have...
The price or the year?
No, the price.
Okay.
And I happened to have 1995. And wow. So I called the number and I ordered the ring and I gave it my address. And weeks later, I was at home. I was a latchkey kid and I was watching probably Voltron or like He-Man on TV. Yeah. And somebody comes to the door with a package and he's like, you have to sign for this. I was like, uh-huh. And he's like, you also have to give me 1995 or whatever it was. I was like, hold on. So I closed the door. I ran and got the money and came back and gave it back, gave it to him. Mm-hmm. He's like, is your, it's okay. All right. And just took the money and gave me the box. And then I was like, what am I going to do with this ring? Because I can't wear it. They're going to ask me. But I held on to it. I put it in a drawer. And it was like such a little... I can do stuff.
Yeah, hell yeah.
It's a good secret.
Back in the COD days.
Yeah, is wild. I mean, this is a long time ago. You couldn't do that now. Mm-mm. But like, I was a little kid with a little kid voice. I see 9-year-olds now. And I'm like, really? Okay.
Money's money.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is also the theme of this movie as well in some ways.
I feel like I mostly rebelled in that. Yeah, I mean, I mostly rebelled in just, like, refusing to, like, let my mom in to my life at all when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, emotional rebellion.
Yeah, like, I wasn't very, like, I feel like, I don't know, I wasn't very, like, adversarial with her. I was more just, like, refusing to give her just, like, even the barest morsel of, like, my inner life as much as possible.
But y'all cut classes and stuff, though, right?
No.
I did a single time.
What?
I skipped English. My friend said, do you want to skip class and go get lunch or something? Hell and yeah. I did. I felt I was overcome by guilt. Mm-hmm. And I had the same, my brother and I were 3 years apart. And so we shared high school for 1 year. And we shared the same English teacher, my freshman, his senior year. And so he asked me in front of our mother how English was that day. Because I didn't like my English teacher. She corrected my fiction, my fantasy-based fiction in which I described elves as tall, saying elves are actually very short.
How very dare she?
Like shoemaker's elves.
Yeah. There are different elves, lady.
Still furious about it to this day.
You should be.
Read some fucking Tolkien.
Jesus.
Anyway, so he asked me how English was, and in my mind, he was like trying to get me to confess, knowing I had skipped English. Uh-huh. And I think he was just asking me that one day. And I couldn't take it, and I broke down and like said, like, oh, I don't know, I skipped class. I went with Jeff, and we went and ate a burrito or whatever. My mom was understandably upset, called Jeff's mother.
No.
I believe got Jeff in trouble.
No, Jeff.
Come on,
snitch.
Be cool, mom.
Yeah. I was a snitch. I did not get stitches. Jeff was understanding. He was like, yeah,
I would have done it too,
but,
man.
Like, that's how it goes.
What can you do? My sister and I skipped like 2 weeks of school one time.
Nice.
And we just intercepted the phone calls.
Nice. I was like a straight edge Kenny for like most of eighth grade. Mm. Like it was very much me and my friends just being like, yeah, what if we just didn't try? And it's eighth grade, so it didn't matter.
I was like whatever the opposite of a rebel was. Like I just like followed all the rules. Aww. And it caused me so much anxiety.
Yeah.
I really like I got along and still get along with my parents, so like I never felt like I had to rebel against them.
Raggy.
Sorry.
Well,
great C and Q, Joshy.
Yeah. I did turn my life around and I was perfectly capable in high school and got good grades.
I have a high emotional intelligence now too.
Wow.
And that is the end of Fan Engagement, or is it? We have a review.
Oh!
Which longtime fans will know we read in the impression of a character from the movie we just watched, or anybody that we choose to. Or you can also request it in the review.
True.
Which I don't believe is the case for this one.
No, but I think obviously someone needs to read it in the impression of Tim, the boyfriend.
Absolutely.
Oh, the Australian boyfriend.
Yes, the Australian boyfriend.
Can you do it, Beth?
Beth.
Wait, can one of you give me your...
Remember that anything you do will be... As bad or better than
this is my best Australian accent. Stuck in a space orb from Clinton Road.
Yeah.
Hey gang, hot teen here. Me mom and I recently moved in with my lame stepdad. His house is a giant space orb, and he's constantly trying to impress me by ordering cheeseburgers from the kitchen. Like it's such a big deal that he can get the chef to do whatever he wants. We get it, dude. You're rich. My mom is obsessed with this loser. Even though he's super conservative and way too old for her. His skin is super dry, but for some reason his eyes are like wet like a beagle's. Any tips on how to get this old weirdo to leave me alone? Or better yet, how can I convince me mom to leave this bozo? It's gotten so bad that she blew most of my college fund on buying this dude even more orbs for his vast collection of orbs.
No.
She really seems to love him, even though he's probably a really bad lover. Thanks, hot teen in space.
Okay, first of all, the best Australian accent of the night.
My
no
God.
Question.
So good.
No question. I am not even kidding.
I was trying to do a bad one, and it just, I was like, whoa, it's actually happening.
What are these strange powers I'm experiencing?
I mean, it's not great, but it's
I mean,
oh, I mean, the dance
we
really
set the bar.
Very low.
Very low.
Thank you for that review. Hey, you can do a review like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a letter from a concerned teen about their orb having... stepdad.
Yes.
Who's Which probably I think, Bezos the clown?
He sounds like, I mean, he's a bad lover. We know.
Yes. Orb lover.
Yeah. What?
Oh, there's something wrong with orbs. I didn't mean a lover like that.
Blorb lover. Blorb lover.
Oh, it's me, Reginald Blorb lover. I'm here to marry your mom.
Or just get big from the Eat Big Steakhouse. Here to marry your mom. I love orbs of the blob.
Oh, it's
blob, blobby, blob.
Blob lover, eh? Have you ever heard of the dark side of the force, have you?
Oh, my God. Okay, we got to get to our rating.
Okay, anyway, advice for him. I basically show him a bunch of Iron Maiden posters. And
yeah,
have
apparently.
A heart attack and you're good to go.
What's the guy's name? Eddie.
Huh?
Van Halen?
Better?
No, isn't it Eddie?
Oh,
isn't that the skeleton
the Iron
guy?
Maiden skeleton guy, yeah.
Oh, okay. He's got a name?
Yeah, I think it's Eddie. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Show him a bunch of weed posters and boobs and Iron Maiden posters.
For some reason, the Confederate flag, very weird.
He's an edgelord from the 90s.
Yeah.
Oh. Ugh.
They didn't care then, and by they, I mean white people.
Yeah.
Great. Dishes are done, dude. Assassin's Pack, which are Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead themed Assassin's Creed DLC.
Yes.
You turn your throwing knives into dishes.
Yes.
It is get metal hair.
Right. It's very well done. Decades too late tie-in.
Yeah. You're a costume with shoulder pads.
We all know what DLC means.
Yeah, for sure.
Downloadable content.
Is it downloadable?
Downloadable.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Downloadable.
Blob lever.
Blob lever.
Blob lever.
You filthy blob lever.
Check out blob lever. Chicken, get the blob lever package for Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Oh, here we got. Oh, Rupert Murdoch, down in Australia, classic blob lever.
Hey, it's me, Baz Luhrmann. Check out Assassin's Creed Black Flag DLC. And then check out Australia the series, which I think is a sequel to Australia the movie. I don't know.
I think they are getting better. I think
Beth planted a scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, I think it's a New Zealand accent, but it's fine.
You know,
yeah,
we're trying our best.
We're trying, yeah. Dan, you gave it 4.
Yes.
You don't know about it.
No.
Maybe it's that there's some thin morality, but it's bonkers and don't stupid. Doubt stupid.
Some stupid.
Some
stupid. Yeah, this movie was not really what I was expecting. I thought it'd be a lot more child shenanigans or there's a dead body shenanigans, and it was not that at all. However, There are so many bonkers choices being made by the actors in these movies, in this movie, and they lean into all of those choices so hard. I had such a good time watching it. That montage, like, actually shattered my brain a little bit.
Yep.
Because
it's very long.
It's very long, and suddenly the whole neighborhood has a surprising level of skill and can carpent and sculpt ice. And I don't know. It was bananas fun time four.
Bananas fun time four.
I had a great time.
Great. Beeth. You gave it a four. You thought it'd be fun. Now you were grumpy about it as a kid because you wanted it to be a cartoon.
Yeah. So I think as we were watching it, my realization was, I think this is the movie that we watched. Mm. I'm not positive, but I think the reason I was grumpy about it is rated PG-13 and there are swears and boobs and all these things. I was like, I, as a rule follower, did not want to be consuming. I should not have been consuming because I was not allowed to watch PG-13. I was not 13 yet.
True. Yeah. We should clarify.
That's why I was
there
grumpy.
There were little decorative skulls on the nipples in the poster.
Yep.
Yes. The
poster boobs.
But they dropped the F-bomb a couple times, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah.
At least once.
Christina Applegate also wears a towel one time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I had problems with that scene because those teenage boys would have been way hornier. And
they were too high, man. Too high.
I guess so.
Dulls the senses.
Yeah, I guess so. Drugs.
Hey, teens.
Yeah.
Hey.
Don't take so much drugs so you can be the proper level of horny.
Right.
So,
yes.
It was so, like, all the characters were so heightened that it kind of made me not like it in a way, because I was like, what is going on here? But I did enjoy it for its chaos also. So, I'm gonna just go to 3.5.
All right. Except.
Yeah.
And that's just the half one is like a download that doesn't, like, finish completely.
It's like corrupted or something.
Sure. So
wonderful. I am third and I gave it a four. I thought it would have a lot of great chaotic 90s energy, which it did. Like Dan, this movie was not at all what I expected in terms of sort of plot and premise, but it was what I expected in terms of sort of energy, 90s energy, which I loved. Yeah, it's such a mess and everybody does a good job. I'm going to stick with four. I liked it a lot.
Great.
Molly, you gave it a careful four to protect yourself because you were
terrified.
Very excited. You were feeling vulnerable because you loved it as a kid.
That's true. All of these things are still true. I really had forgotten what a great job everyone does, what a crackerjack script it is. It was great. Yeah, five.
Boom.
Wow.
Yep.
You are just spending all your parents' money on the DLC.
Yeah,
I for sure
stealing
am.
Money out of the petty cash.
Oh, what's the credit card charge for $75 at Assassin's Creed? the one that's in ancient Egypt. I don't know the name of it.
Is that the Odyssey's in Greece?
Yeah.
What is that one?
This is all stuff that I definitely get and I'm interested in.
Troy, why shall we charge us for Clown Dog and Xbox Game Pass?
You've changed your horse into the Clown Dog car. You drive it over sand dunes.
Hey, all the enemies are that creepy ghost man from the film.
And with that,
Wow.
All right, podcast over.
Good day, listeners. And by good day, I mean goodbye.
Good boy, it's me, Australia.
Totes Recall is hosted by Molly Chase, Beth Gibbs, Dan DeQuette, and Dan Linden. Produced by Beth Gibbs. New episodes of Totes Recall drop on the 15th of every month. For more information and bonus content, visit us at totesrecall.com. Thank you so much for listening.